Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast is solely produced with the intention of spreading awareness. Facts are verified through public records, police reports, media coverage, and occasionally family or friends of the missing. Any negative comments blaming or shaming the victim or their families may be deleted. This is an independent production. There is no fancy editing and therefore may not be the production some are looking for. Just remember, it takes one person to share information to the right person, and a cold case just might get solved. Robert Horion was a big teddy bear of a man who loved his daughter more than anything. He worked as an electrician, and he was married to his longtime sweetheart, Tara. They lived in Palmyra, Virginia, just outside of Columbia, Virginia, a very small town, and by all accounts had a happy life together. Their daughter was born in 2005, and Rob stepped easily into the role of a doting and loving father. On Friday, April 8th, 2011, Robert woke up and dressed for work in his normal work clothes, just as he always did. He left the home around 6:30 a.m., taking his wife's white Chevy Cavalier car. Robert would head to his regular stopping spot for breakfast, the E.W. Thomas store. A few of Rob's friends saw him there, and this was a normal, regular occurrence for Rob. Despite it being 20 minutes in the opposite direction of Richmond, Virginia, where Rob had said he was headed for work, it seemed this was a normal place that Rob would visit in the mornings. A little while later, a friend of Tara's saw her car on the highway and called Tara to tell her. This was not a normal route that Robert usually took. Confused, Tara tried calling Robert's cell phone, but it was going straight to voicemail. Tara also later learned that Rob wasn't even scheduled to work that day. So why had he dressed for work and left the house, telling her he was heading to work? Something was definitely off. But Tara waited a few days to report Robert as missing. Robert hasn't been seen or heard from since. Where is Robert Horion? Robert Horion would meet his future wife, Tara May, in church when they were teenagers. While they knew each other, they wouldn't actually begin dating until they were in their early 20s, although Tara May admits to having a crush on Robert from the very beginning. She says she still remembers the day Robert agreed to go out with her. He had been complaining about breaking up with another girl when she suggested the two of them go out, and Robert agreed. Tara said she was giddy with excitement that whole day. It was a day that she said she will never forget. The two would go on to get married, and they would reside in Palmyra, Virginia. They had a little girl in 2005 whom Rob adored. He stepped easily into the fatherhood role, and everyone still talks about what a great dad he was to his daughter. He was so happy and so proud and such a loving dad. Rob had a job working as an electrician. The job usually took him into the city of Richmond, Virginia, about an hour southeast of where he lived. The disappearance. Robert woke up early on Friday, April 8th, 2011. His drive to work from Palmyra to Richmond would take about an hour. He got dressed for work, he said goodbye to his wife and his six-year-old daughter, and he drove off in his wife's white Chevy Cavalier. About an hour later, Robert arrived at the E.W. Thomas store for breakfast. This was something he did often, and many people there, both customers, and employees knew Robert by name. While there, Rob made a phone call. He stayed for about 20 minutes, and then he left the store just around 8 o'clock a.m. Later that morning, a friend of Tara's would call her and tell her that she was driving behind her car on Interstate 53. The car was exiting the highway going towards Cunningham, Virginia. Now, a lot of people do question why this call was made, but honestly, I just wonder if it was because it was Tara's car. And maybe this friend thought it was Tara driving it. Maybe she just called to tell her that, hey, I'm driving behind you. Tara's white Chevy Cavalier had a vanity plate that read Tara May, so her car was very easy to distinguish. Now, Tara immediately knows that this is nowhere near where Rob said he would have been that day. And in looking at the map, I can see why she was worried and confused. Cunningham is north of Palmyra, putting Rob further and further away from his supposed destination in Richmond, Virginia, which now, from Cunningham, is an hour and a half drive to the south. So Tara starts calling Robert's cell phone, but it's going straight to voicemail. As Tara starts digging into what's going on and trying to reach her husband, she also learns that Rob was not even scheduled to work that day. So why had he woken up and got dressed for work, telling them he was heading to work? She tries periodically throughout the day to call Robert, but she only receives his voicemail each time. This continues on through the whole day Friday, all of Saturday, and into Sunday. She is quite concerned by now because Robert takes daily heart medication, but he had not taken any of this medication with him. By Sunday evening, she knows she has to call the local authorities and report her husband as missing. Robert Horian has disappeared. The search and investigation. Law enforcement in local Fluvanna County, where Rob lived, took the call for a missing person late on Sunday, April 10th, 2011. This call came in from Tara Horian, who stated that her husband has been missing since Friday morning. She told them what she knew. Rob had left around 6:30 in the morning, dressed for work. She later learned he was seen driving in an area that he shouldn't have necessarily been in. And from there, she started calling him to check in and see what was going on. She called on and off all throughout the weekend, but she said she thought he must just be with friends. By Sunday night, she said her worry had grown, in large part due to his heart medication that he had left behind, and she called the sheriff's department to report him missing. Now, Rob has no history of doing anything like this. He had never done this before. He had never disappeared for any length of time. He had never ignored her calls for multiple days at a time. And Tara said their home life was good. He was a doting father to their daughter, and their marriage was going well also. First, authorities worked on retracing Robert's steps on the day he vanished, or at least the day they knew him to be last seen, which was Friday, April 8th, 2011. And here's what they learned. Rob left his home that morning, telling his wife and daughter that he was heading to work in Richmond. This was around 6:30 a.m. when he left the house. All of this seemed to be a very normal morning for a work day for Robert. There was no reason for Tara to question any of this. Now, his movements are unknown for the next hour, but around 7:40 a.m., he shows up at the E.W. Thomas store for breakfast. He makes a phone call. This would be the last phone call that his cell phone makes. This pings near that store. Now, Robert was a regular here, and many people knew him, both customers and employees. Many did confirm seeing him there around that time as well. And again, everything seemed normal. Now, that phone call that was last made around 7:40 a.m., details of this call have not been made public. Interestingly, too, this is an hour after he left his home. Now, this is a small area. The store would actually be just a few minutes' drive from his home. So what was he doing for that entire hour? We don't know. It would be around 8 o'clock a.m. when Rob leaves the E.W. Thomas store. Now, again, we don't know what happens for the next couple of hours. But in the late morning, a friend of Tara's calls her, stating that she is driving behind her car. Now, Robert took Tara's car that day, and I can't say for certain if that is a normal occurrence or why that was. Why did he take her car? Also, as I mentioned earlier, Tara's white Chevy Cavalier had vanity license plate, making it very distinguishable. The license plate contained her name, Tara May. So it's really easy to see how her car could be easily spotted and identified. This friend told Tara the car was on Route 53 and was exiting towards Cunningham, Virginia. Now, once you look at the map, you can already see this day for Robert wasn't going as it should have, at least according to what he had told his family. If he had told the truth, he was supposed to be heading to Richmond, Virginia, which is southeast, not towards Cunningham, Virginia, which is northwest. Not only that, Robert wasn't actually scheduled to work that day. So what was he doing? For some reason, he wanted his wife to believe he was heading to work, but clearly he wasn't, which might explain why he wasn't anywhere near Richmond, Virginia, and he was continually seen moving in the opposite direction. It's also unclear if Tara's friend could tell if Robert was the one driving the car. As law enforcement started interviewing and reaching out to anyone and everyone who knew Robert, they learned that the day he went missing, he was supposed to maybe meet up with a friend to travel to New York City. This friend, Danny, stated that Rob never showed up for their planned meeting, and he never really thought too much about it. Which is quite odd. New York City is an 8-hour drive from Virginia. If they were planning such a trip, it would seem like it would be a big deal. Now, there would be some additional sightings that would maybe come in of the car, but authorities are quick to say that these are witness statements and they're unconfirmed. If they have any confirmed CCTV or surveillance footage, they have not released it or announced it to the public. These additional possible sightings of the car were near Charlottesville, Virginia. This is 20 miles north of Palmyra, where Robert and Tara lived. And it's unclear if maybe he had any connection to that area or any reason to be heading towards Charlottesville. Now, Robert's case was pretty quiet for the next few weeks. No one could think of any reason that Rob would have lied about going to work or why he completely seemed to vanish. And as locals got word of Robert's disappearance, they started driving around looking for him themselves. He was missing with the car. The fear was that maybe he had ran off the road, maybe he'd had a car accident, maybe he was down an embankment somewhere, and maybe he needed help. Locals and friends and those who knew about his disappearance were driving the area every day looking for Tara's car. But on May 28th, 2011, something major happened that would reignite the whole investigation. The car that Robert was driving, that white Chevy Cavalier that belonged to his wife, was found abandoned in a Target parking lot in La Plata, Maryland. This is over 100 miles from his home in Virginia. There were very few clues found in or around the car, and it certainly didn't make any sense that the car would be in La Plata, Maryland. There was no known connection between Rob and La Plata. The car was also found filthy, dirty, and it was noted that they believed it had been sitting there for quite a while. The Target store had reported that the car had been abandoned there, but they couldn't be sure for how long. When authorities went to review any CCTV footage, they found that all previous video had been recorded over already, and there would be no surveillance video to help them in seeing who put Rob's car there. Was it Rob? Was there someone else with him? Did he get into another vehicle? Was it someone completely different driving Rob's car? So we don't know who left the car in that Target parking lot. Was it Rob or was it someone else? And if it was Rob, what was he doing in La Plata? If it wasn't Rob, where was he? Aside from authorities coming out and reporting that they do believe at this time that Rob had met with foul play, they have not released any additional details. Now, earlier I mentioned that Rob took daily medication for his heart, and he had not taken any of that medication with him that morning when he left the house. Rob had been diagnosed with long QT syndrome, also known as LQTS. This is an abnormal feature of the heart's electrical system, and it can lead to a potentially life-threatening arrhythmia. LQTS is not curable, but it can be treated and managed successfully, often with daily medication being needed. Because of this condition, Rob had to take his medication. Without it, he could suffer drastic side effects, such as fainting or nausea, or there could even be a direct failure of the heart's electric system, and the heart could stop beating altogether. Needless to say, Rob's daily medication was a necessity. Fluvanna County, Virginia, and La Plata, Maryland. This is another one of those cases that doesn't just focus on one area. There's two separate areas we really need to look at here. Let's talk about Fluvanna County, Virginia first. Rob and Tara, along with their young daughter, lived in Palmyra, Virginia. This is a small rural town in Fluvanna County. Now, Palmyra is actually the county seat of Fluvanna, but it's a very, very small town. The population is barely over 100 residents. Now, Fluvanna County as a whole has about 28,000 residents. Crimegrade.org gives this area a crime grade of an A. There is very, very little crime in this area, and it is considered much lower than the national average. In fact, I always kind of look up crime ratings in an area just to kind of get an idea of what might be happening there. And I don't know that I've ever seen a county rank as high as this one. But again, if you're the victim of a crime, statistics don't really matter much. Now, I want to take a look at Robert's potential movements that day he disappeared and their locations on the map. First, he left his home in Palmyra Township around 6:30 a.m. His phone made its last communication around 7:41 a.m. This was also in the Palmyra area. So what was he doing for that 1 hour, staying in this one particular area? If the timeline is correct, he spent an hour somewhere that was not his home, yet very close to his home, before driving to the E.W. Thomas store, one of his usual normal stops for breakfast. It is noted that the store is in the opposite direction of Richmond, Virginia, where he told his wife he was headed for work. But there's a couple points about this I want to make. First, this was a usual routine stop for Robert. The store wasn't that awful far from his home, so I could see him traveling a little bit out of the way to make his usual breakfast stop, especially on a Friday morning. But also, as we would learn later, I don't know that it really matters that Richmond is in the opposite direction because Rob wasn't scheduled to go to work anyway. So did he lie to his wife that morning about going to work, or did she maybe misunderstand? So we know Robert heads to this store where he was seen by more than one person who knew him and recognized him around 8 o'clock a.m. No one really noticed anything out of the ordinary or him acting in any kind of unusual way. Now, technically, this would be the last known confirmed sighting of Rob. This store is located near the intersection of Highway 15 and Highway 53. Now, looking at a Google map walkthrough of the area, it's pretty rural. The store really stands alone. There isn't much else around that I could see. There's some patches of woods. And you are about a quarter mile from the Rivanna River. Now, this is a small scenic river that runs through Fluvanna County. While the river in that area itself is shallow and not very wide, there are woods on both sides providing pretty thick cover. Now, I've heard from some locals in the area that many people drove around and looked for Rob once they realized he was missing. And they drove this route, particularly Highway 15 and Highway 53. They drove down the highways, they looked all over for Rob, they looked for the car, thinking maybe it had crashed, maybe it was off the road. These aren't super high trafficked areas. And of course they found nothing, which we now know is because the car would be found weeks later in Maryland. But were there any official ground searches in that area near the store? I didn't see any record of any. And I do have to wonder if that area was searched. Now, aside from it being pretty rural, it's not completely isolated. And I'd have to think that 14 years later, some sign of Rob would have been uncovered if he were there, if he were near the store. So from that store, we believe, from a friend of Tara's and some possible other sightings, that he traveled north on Highway 53. The store that Rob had left from sits at the corner of the intersection to Highway 53. So this would be an easy path to take. He could easily exit the store onto Highway 15 and turn onto Highway 53 heading north. But why was he heading north away from his home? Where was he going? What were his intentions? Now, authorities would later learn that at some point, Rob had planned to meet up with a friend that says Rob never showed up for that meeting. Reports do indicate that this friend said their meeting was for late morning, but it doesn't indicate an exact time or an exact location. If Tara's friend's sighting is to be believed, where she saw the car on Highway 53, he was heading north towards Cunningham. Now, Highway 53 itself is a quiet two-lane road. There's many stretches of seclusion with trees on both sides of the highway. It's not very populated. It's definitely still pretty rural. This was the route before Rob and Tara's car was found that many locals and friends drove looking for possible car accidents, believing that Rob might have been in an accident on this road. Now, there are many creeks and small ponds along the route. There is also the much larger Lake Monticello, which you can see on the map. However, this 500-acre lake, while a large recreation lake, is located completely within a gated community, does not have public access. But from here, Rob seemed to vanish into thin air, with no clues, no sightings, no tips, nothing until his car shows up in La Plata, Maryland. La Plata is almost a three-hour drive from Palmyra, Virginia. There were no known ties to La Plata for Rob or his family, at least that we know of. La Plata is actually located very close to Washington, D.C., just about a 20-minute drive, and it has a population of just over 10,000 residents. Now, at some point, there were rumors that Robert was maybe planning a trip to New York City. I don't know if that trip was ever confirmed or those plans. It certainly seems that maybe Tara was unaware of it, or maybe that's why she didn't report him missing till Sunday night. Maybe she thought he had gone to New York City. And I have to wonder if maybe that is true, because you could get to New York City during that 8-hour drive from Palmyra, Virginia, driving through the La Plata area. Now, of course, that does not explain what happened to him once he got to La Plata. And without any video footage, we can't even be sure that it was Robert who drove the car and parked it in that Target parking lot. La Plata is also very close to the very large and deep Potomac River, just about 5 miles away. In fact, there are smaller sections of the river that creep even closer to La Plata. But if Rob had met with foul play, why would they take him to a more populated part of the country, away from his rural home with acres upon acres of woods and vacant land? Or had Robert drove up to La Plata meeting someone there and something happened to him after that meeting? If he was meeting somebody there, what was the purpose of that meeting? Robert wasn't known to have any drug problems, gambling problems, or any other issues that could lead to trouble. There's no evidence of an affair. But we don't always know what someone has going on in their private life. And if he did lie to his wife, he clearly was trying to cover something up, or at least hide what his real intentions or plans were for that day. Theories and possibilities. Rob's disappearance has completely remained a mystery since 2011, with very few clues to go on, at least clues in which the authorities have shared with the public. I don't want to narrow the focus down too much on what may have happened, because it truly could be anything, but let's talk about the main theories according to law enforcement and family. Theory number one, foul play. We will start here because this is what authorities believe, and at this point, this is now what the family believes. Rob was a doting father with no history of trouble, no history of disappearing. It seems to law enforcement, at least, that this is a man who would return to his family, unless something or someone stopped him. With his car being found in La Plata, we can probably rule out an accident. Someone had to put his car there. And it's also believed that Rob had lied about where he was going that day, according to his wife. If that is true, he had something to hide. Was this a man who wanted a free day away from home, or was he up to something, something which could lead to trouble? The odd thing is there is no evidence that Rob had a drug problem, a gambling problem, or was up to anything illegal. Of course, this doesn't mean that's not possible, just that we don't have that evidence. Law enforcement has stated they have not released all evidence to the public on purpose. And I'd have to believe that they might have evidence of foul play, which is why they are leaning towards this theory in his case. There's also a lot of talk about Rob's wife being involved somehow as well. First, there is no evidence of such that we know, other than some bizarre behavior. Now, the main reason she comes up in theories is because, first, she took a few days to report him missing. Second, the entire weekend that he was missing, she was posting on Facebook quite a bit. She was posting memes, pictures of her cat, silly posts, just overall being kind of funny and goofy. And this is at a time where most people believe she should have been out looking for her husband, posting about his disappearance, maybe kind of freaking out that he couldn't be found. Now, I do agree, her behavior does seem odd, but I don't think we have the full story with her and their relationship and maybe what their plans were for that weekend. So I'm not going to dive in any deeper on any possible involvement that she may or may not have had. There is also this friend, Danny. This was someone he was allegedly meeting with the day he vanished, but Danny had said Rob never showed up to their meeting. What were they meeting for? What were they meeting about? What was the purpose of that meeting? We really don't know. Was Danny looked into? Was he cleared of any wrongdoing? We just don't have that type of information to dive into. And because of all of these facts, foul play remains the number one theory in the case of Rob Horion. Theory number two, Rob left on his own. Now, while foul play remains the main theory and is what family and law enforcement believe, until they give us any evidence to rule anything out, we have to keep open minds. And there are some clues that lead people to believe that Rob might have left on his own. Rob lied to Tara about going to work that day, and he went as far as to put his work uniform on and leave early in the morning as he always did. He wanted to leave the house, and he wanted to do so without being questioned. Maybe Rob did want to leave and go start a fresh life somewhere else. Perhaps he ditched the car in La Plata for another mode of transportation, knowing that everyone was looking for him in that particular car, a car that was pretty easy to spot seeing as it had vanity license plates. I do have to wonder about his heart medication, though. Wouldn't he at least take that along with him? And how would he obtain additional medication in the future? And would he actually really leave his daughter? She was only 6 years old at the time, and everyone who knew the family said Rob was so in love with this little girl, and he was so happy and proud to be a dad. Rob has also left no digital trail, no hits on his driver's license, on his social security number, cell phone, and no banking activity. While I definitely believe this theory is much less likely than the first theory of foul play, I also think we can't completely rule it out until we have more information. Theory number three, self-harm. Now, the only reason this is really a theory in the case of Rob Horion is because it essentially cannot be ruled out. And for the same reason we can't rule out theory number two of Rob leaving on his own, this theory might be backed up by the fact that he lied to his wife when he left the house, and it would also explain why he didn't need to take his medication and why there have been no hits on any of his accounts. But how did his car get to La Plata, and where did he go from there? It's also important to note that while we can't rule this theory out, I suppose, there really is no evidence to really support this theory either. Rob gave no clues to anyone about being depressed or being in any kind of way where he might be considering any type of self-harm. Now, that doesn't always mean it didn't happen or someone's not thinking about it, but there's just no clues or evidence to point towards it. So what do you think happened to Rob Horian? Rob is described as a Caucasian male with blondish, reddish hair, blue eyes, and a beard at the time of his disappearance. He stood around 5'11" and weighed around 225 pounds. He was last seen in the Fluvanna County area of Virginia on Friday, April 8th, 2011. If you have any information as to the whereabouts of Rob Horian or anything at all regarding his case, please contact the Fluvanna Sheriff's Department at 434-589-8211. Please, let's keep sharing Rob's story. Let's keep talking about Rob Horian. It has been unsolved for far too long, in my opinion, and there is a daughter out there who deserves to know what happened to her father. Someone out there knows something. Thank you so much for listening to Rob's story today. It's been so many years, but I do have hopes this case will be solved very, very soon. This is a good time to mention, if you'd like to support the show further and get all of our episodes completely ad-free, please consider joining us over on Patreon. All of our audio shows will be up over there with no ads, and we also post bonus content as well. I do want to welcome our newest Patreon member this week, Elaine. Thank you so much for joining us over there and for helping us do what we do. If you haven't already and would really like to help us boost up our show, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It helps us so much and we appreciate it more than you know. Also, make sure you're following us over on the socials. I try to bring case updates over there first, and as we head into 2026, there are still a few developing cases that I am watching very closely and should have updates posted over on the socials very soon. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Those links will all be in the show notes. Lastly, if you have any case suggestions or feedback for us, or perhaps some additional insight on any of the cases we've covered, please reach out to me via the socials anytime or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. We specifically are looking for those lesser known cases, the missing persons who need more media attention, the cases that perhaps no one has heard of, or the cases where media attention has slowed or maybe even completely stopped. Thank you so much for listening to Rob's story today. Let's keep talking about him. Let's keep his name out there. And let's keep the pressure on to find Rob and bring him home to his family. We will be back again very soon with another Unsolved Missing Persons episode. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.